Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Lord, we love you, Lord. Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yes, we love you, Lord. Lord, we love you. If you love him today, let me see you stand and raise your hand. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless your name, God. We magnify your name this morning, Jesus. We honor your name, God. Oh, we magnify your name, Jesus. You are a wonderful God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your people this morning, God. Oh, God. Bless them, Jesus. Give me the strength, God. Give me the boldness, God. Lord, that I can do what you want me to do this morning, Jesus. Oh, consecrate your people this morning. Move, 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 oh God. Set free and deliver. Hallelujah. Break every bound and every chain. Oh God, that bound them this morning, God. Oh God, give them a new lease on life. Let today be a day that when they leave out of this place, God, that they will know, oh God, that you is God. And besides you, there is none other, Lord. We give you praise. Lord, we give you glory and we give you honor today. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, we bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You can be seated. Hallelujah, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good this morning. He is good. He is always good. Hallelujah, Jesus. No matter what situation, no matter what situation that we are in, God is still good. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want to say good morning to everybody this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And welcome to Divine Truth Christian Center. Bless the name of the Lord, where your dreams and visions I realize in the name of Jesus. Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessing to you and your wonderful family that are here today worshiping with us. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. That is a great honor and privilege to stand before you today. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And I just also want to say thank you to Pastor Andre Martin, and praise the name of the Lord, Lady Nikitra. Martin, bless the name of the Lord and their absence. I want to praise God for them for giving me the privilege to stand before you this morning to bring a word to you from the Lord this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So this morning, hallelujah. And also I want to give the Lord thanks for my family. Hallelujah. My wonderful husband, Richard Cameron. Hallelujah. That is here with me this morning. Praise the Lord. I just give God praise for you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So this morning we're going to dive right into the meat of the word and the word that God had given me this morning to present to his children. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We're going to go in 1 Kings chapter 18 and we're going to read two verses, 20 and 21. Praise the name of the Lord, the King James Version. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If you look on the screen, hallelujah is there. Bless the name of the Lord. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Verse 21 said, and Elisha came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answer him, not a word. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Many of you might be familiar with this scripture. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. This text from the Old Testament, which is an account of Elisha on Mount Carmel, where he challenges the people by rebuking the children of Israel for worshiping and following the idol Baal. Praise the name of the Lord. And, you know, for generations, Israel has been trying to worship other gods. Although they see the things that God did for them, God bring them through so many trials and tribulations, but they still try, generation after generation, they still try to worship, hallelujah, Jehovah and Baal at the same time. You know, they wanted both ways. They want the power of Jehovah, but still they want to indulge, glory be to God, themselves in the luxury and the pleasures of sin, of Baal. Praise the name of the Lord. But this man called Elijah the prophet, bless the name of the Lord. He assembled them. He called them together on Mount Carmel. And he began to speak to them. He rebuked them for their action. And he advised them to make a choice. He told them that, you know, they just could not do that and get by with it. Meaning that they just can't, you know, serve Jehovah and serve Baal and get by with it. Because the true God of heaven, Israel God, does not permit this. His people to worship idols. Because he told them in the Ten Commandments, you know, they should not have no other God before him. And he is a jealous God. All of these things. But they refuse. They want to worship Baal and they want to worship Jehovah at the same time. And the story continues with the contest that it was like a showdown where the false God, where Elisha bought, try to show them what God can do and try to show them what the false God could do, Baal. And which Israel proved himself to be true. And the living God, where God proved himself to be true through the sacrifices and all this, what went down. And it was proven when God, he came down and he consumed Elijah's sacrifice with fire from heaven. But Baal, on the other hand, he was not able, his prophets was not able to have him. He didn't answer. They called unto him, but he did not answer them. He didn't answer the prayers of his prophet to consume their sacrifice. Because Baal was just a god of their imagination and of their own making. So those prophets were killed and Israel decided to worship the true and the living God. But today we want to focus mostly on the question that prophet Elijah asked the people. In verse 21, he said, 1 Kings 18:21, he said to them, how long ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answer him not a word. Now, our topic today is going to be halted between two opinions. What does it mean to be halted between two opinions? The word halt in our text is very important. It means to be undecided, as if to hop back and forth from one opinion to another. When I look up as I was studying and I look in the American Standard Version, it says, how long are you going to limp between two sides? Which means to be lame or crippled on one's feet. Another version says, how long will you lean to both sides? The NIV says, how long will you waver between two opinions? To waver is to be unsteadily, changing from one side to the other. These people, the people of Israel, they were double-minded. They were undecided people. They wanted to be on the Lord's side when it seemed beneficial to them. Other than that, they were following after Baal. So that's why Elijah, the prophet, questioned them and said, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is Baal, then follow him. And as we look closely at this text, there were three kinds of person gathered on this mountain, Mount Carmel. We have first a devoted servant of God, Prophet Elijah, one who walked and he feared God. He walked upright before the Lord. And then we have, on the other hand, the decided servants. These were the evil ones, the 450 prophets of Baal and the other 400 prophets who eat at Jezebel's table. These people represented the sinners who do whatever they want to do without any guilt or shame. They are sinners. They yield their members to the enemy, to the devil. But the majority at that time belonged to those who had not fully determined whether fully to worship Jehovah, the God of their fathers, or Baal, the God of Jezebel. These were the double-minded, the undecided ones. They were double-minded, which speaks of a man or woman who tried to split his or her energy between the world system and the work of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Luke chapter 11, verse 23 said, anyone who is not for me is against me. If he isn't helping me, he is hurting my cause. So did it say today that if you're not for God, hallelujah, that you are against him, you're doing things against him, you're not for him, you're against him. Praise the name of the Lord. James chapter 4 and 4 said, don't you realize, this is in the Living Bible, that making friends with God's enemy, the evil pleasures of this world, makes you an enemy of God. I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasures of the unsaved world, you cannot also be a friend of God. So this morning, I want to say that the Lord sent me to ask the people that is under the sound of my voice, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be on this side, on the devil's side, and on God's side? Hallelujah. How much of God's discipline would you will have to endure to realize that God had chosen you for a work? God had chosen you to do a great work, but you continue to stay on both sides. You can decide which side you want to come on. What it's going to take to get you to choose the right side. If you stay on both sides, you cannot receive the blessings from God. Sometimes we wonder why our blessings is hold up. It's because you're not, you know, serving God wholeheartedly. Praise the name of the Lord. So Elijah, and I'll put myself in that, he's saying this morning, and I'm saying this morning to you from God, how long, he's asking you today, are you going to hold between two opinions? Many people profess Christianity today, but they are halting between two opinions. They cannot decide which side they want to go on. They may go to church every Sunday, but the rest of the week, they are dominated by all other stuff, all pleasures of the world, and loves and concerns and commitments that they hold dear to their heart, you know, but they still feel the tugging of God on their heart, but they still want the world, the love of the world at the same time. They are trying to love God and the world at the same time. They pretend to worship the God of the Bible, but they also worship the gods of the heathen at the same time. And it's just like Israel. They did not realize that God is displeased, and I'm telling you today, God is displeased, and he's angry with them who doesn't accept the worship of, you know, he doesn't accept the worship of those who practice sin, the sin of idolatry and fornication, and hallelujah, glory be to God, and all other works of the flesh. And so doing, instead of pleasing God, their worship become a sin. So if you are worshiping God and you are not truly have decided that to really commit yourself to God, you are really wasting your time. That's what I want to say this morning. Instead of pleasing God, their worship was a sin to them. Sorry. And instead of reaping God's blessing, they will reap his judgment and his curse. In these last days, we might not be worshiping graven wood or stone gods, but our idol is anything, like I said before, that has our attention at the expense of our devotion to God. Anything that we put before God, it could be our relationships, our husband, our children, our jobs. These are a few of them. Idols do not have to be evil images. It don't have to be nothing carved out that you can see. House and a shrine like it used to be long time ago. Like I said before, it could be those things that I repeat a while ago. In our days, idols can be things that God would otherwise consider good. Our loved ones, which include husband and wife and children, like I explained to you before, and our jobs. The things to which our minds naturally goes when we are quiet. When we're in that quiet moment, that thing that right there, that you always have right there in front of you on your mind. But you don't have God, that thing you put there in front. That thing that we hold them dear to our hearts. We tend to get to a place where we forget the source and worship the resources. We forget that God is our source. That God is the one that wake us up this morning. And that God is the one that we are breathing bread because of him. That we are alive because of him. And we begin to worship the things that he gave us just for this, just because we are living in this world and we are not here permanently. We are only temporary going through this world. And we hold those things which are the resources. We worship those things. And God is angry. We need to remember that the Almighty God is our source. He is the one, like I said. He is the only one that can supply our needs. No other God, no matter how you pray, like those prophets prayed in Elijah days, and they cut up themselves and they prayed and prayed to the God. God never answered them. Those things can't help you. And I want you to look around what's happening right now in this world right now. There's so many people and high people that in high places are being pulled down, and in a second they lose everything that they had worked for because they hold those things so dear. That's what their sources, and then at the end of the day, most of them commit suicide. It's because they cannot believe they lost everything because you took the wrong thing for God. When you're supposed to be holding on to the source, you're holding on to the resources. In this text, after Elijah the prophet asked the children of Israel where their loyalty or commitment lies, they did not answer him a word. He wanted to prove to them that Jehovah God is their source. Please don't misunderstand me today. God does give us, he does give us possessions in our life to enjoy. But when we enjoy our possessions at the expense of our devotion to him, putting everything before our service to God, he removed his hand and the enemy take advantage of us. Some of us never escape. Most of us wants to follow the crowd. That's the problem with us today. We want to follow the crowd. We want to walk the wide road. You know the Bible talk about the narrow road and the wide road? The narrow road is the good road that the Christian's supposed to be walking. The wide road is where everybody want to be on because everybody doing it. That's the end thing, and that's where I want to be. You know, and that's the road that leads to hell. The wide road seems more enjoyable. We want to follow the world, which is the end thing. And saying, God, understand. God, understand. You know, you want to do whatever you want. But I'm sorry to say, God does not understand. Let me tell you what God understands. God only understands holiness. We cannot have it both ways. Our choices need to be made today. It is either with the cross or with the crowd. You cannot be in between. And if you look at this picture, you can see when you reach at that crossroad, it's like, okay, I want to side if I want to go that way or that way. So you stay right in here. You stay right in there. Hopping, skipping, back and forth, back and forth. The word of God said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, it said, then Jesus said to his disciples, whosoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. And that is plain as day. Jesus is saying that if you want to follow him, All those things that you crave after, you've got to put them aside. Your selfishness, what you feel you want to do, put them aside. You got to follow me. Glory be to God. If I tell you speak, you need to speak. If I tell you go this way, you go that way. You have to follow me. You have to deny yourself, because this flesh don't want you to be saved. This flesh want to take you down to the grave and plus onto hell. Glory be to God. We cannot allow this flesh to lead us. Glory be to God. Then Jesus says to the disciple, if any of you wants to be my followers, like I said, you got to take up my cross and your cross, not his cross, because you can't take up Jesus' cross, and follow me. God is pretty clear about it. You cannot serve two masters. It's time to choose. The word said in Matthew chapter 6, you cannot, no man, no matter what, you cannot serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God is choosing today. He said, choose, stop wavering, and decide today whose side you are on. So all you that are placing your relationships before God, placing your jobs before God, placing things that are your resources and everything before God, your children, I'm telling you, be careful. Because God is a jealous God. What he do sometimes, when he move his hand, like I said before, he will allow the enemy to come in and just, you know, tear you up. But if you serve him, the enemy can't touch you. He will remove that job. He will remove that whatever else you have, that relationship. You know, placing stuff before God, confessing to be a Christian. And one of the things is that God is dealing with me this morning to tell you, and is that a lot of Christians, especially young Christians, they want to hold on to God. They want to hold to God, but they still want to be committing fornication. You know, I'm sorry that all these children are not here, but I just want to say that, you know, fornication, everybody should know what that is, having sex and not married. God is angry with your action. He said, I see you, and I know exactly what you're doing. You come and you lift up holy hands before me, and then you go out there and you do whatever, because you have this relationship that you have so dear to your heart. So dear to your heart that you would not release it. God says it's time to make a choice. It's time to release those things that you hold so dear. If you want to serve God wholeheartedly or the devil, you need to decide. You need to choose today. Sin is a hateful thing, and this generation has played with the idea of sin until it means very little to them. What that is saying is that, generations before, you would never see some things that are going on, glory be to God, in the world and in the church, especially in the church. It's just like the world came into the church. The church just began to do things that the world is doing. And then everybody turned a blind eye. Many people sit down and turn a blind eye. There's only a few that will speak up. There's some things that you cannot say, because people will get angry and just leave the church because you said that. But if you want to be on God's side, you have to live holy. You cannot live any kind of way. You cannot come up here raising up holy hands and you know you're dirty. You know what you're doing. You need to clean yourself. Listen here. Let me tell you something. God is about to do something in this church. And not only the church, but all among his people, because the church is us. God is about to raise up his people, and glory be to God, and his glory to shine upon his people, that people will be laying on of hands, people will be sick, and people raising people from the dead, praise the name of the Lord. And it cannot take place if you be back and forth like that. So let me tell you what's going to happen. If you don't step on the right road, God is going to move you. And he's going to put those that is going to serve him in the right way. This is no time to be stepping. Praise the Lord. Let me get back to praise the Lord. But I want to go as the Spirit leads me. Hallelujah. The world today and the church today, praise the Lord, there's no shame in some of our game in church. One time it was a hush-hush. People would, they wouldn't open up and do things so openly. But most people now believe that it's okay to sin a little and God understand, like I say. And like I was saying, they get angry when you speak about it and then they want to leave the church. But I want to tell you today, if God give me a word for you today, I promise him I will obey and I will deliver it, because I do not want your sin to be on my hand. So I'm delivering this word today. The Lord tell me, say, speak to those that I put before you. And I want you to tell them, especially the young people, because these children who are growing up in these days, I mean, they don't want to listen. They feel like they know it all. Everything, you know, they the in thing and the in crowd. You don't know not. When you speak to them, they don't want to hear. But God said to tell them, and he make sure specifically tell me the young, flee from fornication. That relationship, like I said, that you're holding so dear, release it. Serve God. You know what they sometimes, you know what the young people say, I'm young, everybody else is doing it. You know, I got to live my life while I'm young, and you know, I'm not old, you talking, you don't married, so I need somebody. That is no excuse. I'm saying this morning, wait on God. Wait on God. He will give you a spouse if you want a spouse in due season, when the time is right. Listen carefully. God still hates sin with a holy hatred. He do not take part or comfort you in sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are actually wasting your time, like I said, you're wasting your precious time when you waver between two opinions. I'm still on that topic. When you waver between those two opinions, you're wasting your time. When you cannot decide what side you want to be on, the word said Jesus rather you to be cold or hot. Either one. Hot or cold. When you are coming in between temperature, lukewarm, he is going to spew you out of his mouth. And you would have no part with him. No part with him. If you're going to be a sinner, be a sinner. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. Regardless of the new standard that the world has set, God has a standard, like I was saying, and that standard is holiness. Although the majority of the churches and people in the churches compromising and turning a blind eye to sin. Sin happening right under their nose. They're afraid to even go and tell the young lady or the, listen, you really need to. But a nice, you know, you don't go and tell them. Try to be nice and ask the Lord, how can I approach this? We just close our eyes and that's their life. No. Let them go on. Right under their nose because of the peer pressure that comes in association with adultery and fornication and all this. God's standards still stand holiness. The word of God says holiness without which no man will see the Lord. When Jesus comes, he's coming for a ready church, a ready bride without spot and without wrinkle. All those that partake in sin, any kind of sin, lying, stealing, fornication, idolatry, whatever you're doing, you're not going. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 9 say, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? The word of God said, don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or who commit adultery or male prostitute or practice homosexuality, no sin will enter there. I don't care how the sin look. No sin will enter there, nor in the presence of God. You could be here worshiping all you want, but if you do not commit yourself to God, there is nothing happening there. Paul speaks to the church in Corinthians chapter 6. He tells the church to flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin persons commit is outside the body, but the sexual immoral sin is against his own body. Or do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not of your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. God has chosen you to do a work. And if you take your body and go there and do whatever you feel like, do it, God is going to punish you. It's time to turn around. It's time to decide if I'm on the Lord's side or I'm on the devil's side. You have a purpose on your life. Remember that. You were born with a purpose. Everyone that is in this place or under the sound of my voice was born with a purpose. You were born to serve God. And everyone have their different talent. God give you a talent to work in his kingdom, to build his kingdom. And if you go there and do whatever you feel like doing with it, but still won't come in church and lift up holy hands, God do not like that. Do not waste your time. Do not waste your time trusting in this world system. Or do not waste your time sitting on the fence, can't decide which side to choose. All will happen when you stay in that area right there. You can't choose. It will cause unnecessary frustration, dissatisfaction, heartache. You're trying to figure out, Lord, what's going on with me? It's because you're not deciding, you're just doing whatever you want to do. Just to name a few. And you will have no one to turn to. But if you choose God, as you go through your situation, he will give you peace in the midst of the storm. He will hear you when you answer. When you call out to him, he will hear you. He cares about you. He will protect you from the enemy. He will forgive your sins through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Do not allow the enemy. This is something that the Lord kept placing on my heart. Do not allow the enemy to contaminate your body, because your body belongs to the Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Praise the name of the Lord. But I know, you know. And I'm speaking to you today to make the right decision. Your body belongs to God. And like I said before, if you desire someone, the word said, if you desire a husband, bless the name of the Lord. The word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. You know what we do? We do the backward way. We try to get the other things before we seek God. The words are the first thing you do. You seek. You try to find out from God, Lord, why did you allow me to be here in this world? What is your purpose and for me? What am I supposed to be doing? What is my part in building up your kingdom? What did you design for me to do, Lord? And then, Lord, how do I walk righteously before you? What is the right way? The way that you command your children to walk? Show me how to do that. Show me how to live upright before you. When you do this, then God is going to give you everything else you need. All other things. That's when it comes to all other things. Don't put the cart before the horse. All other things will be added onto you. Like I said, if you desire a husband, a wife, or any other thing, it is in God's will for your life. He will give it to you because he know what we needed before we even know. We just known we needed that thing, but God know a long time. He know what he have in his will for our lives. I remember too that I was undecided also walking the Christian journey. Praise the name of the Lord. I was undecided. I had two opinions. I wanted to be in the church, but still doing my own thing. Praise the name of the Lord. At the same time, I want to indulge in sexual immorality and still confessing that I'm serving God. Now, this is for someone here today. Praise the name of the Lord. I still want to do my own thing. But God, I remember going through so much troubles and trials because I wanted to be free. But it's like I couldn't be free. This is what happened when you disobey God. I survived what I went through, but many do not survive to tell the tale. But God chose me to do a work. He chose me to be here this morning to tell you. And that's why I'm here. For many years, I sit on the fence, trying to go left or right. Either I go left or right. You know, I was messed up from the floor up, they say. So don't look at me as someone that's goody-goody. It's only God, they say. They have this saying, but God. Only God. God has brought me from a long, mighty way. And I want to encourage you this morning that don't get yourself involved in that sin, that sexual sin. I remember, like I said, I was still in church, undecided, but I was bound by chains and cords of darkness and deception. When you are bound by this type of sin, it's almost impossible to break. It's a fight. It's a sin that unites the fornicator to demons and fallen spirits, and they become their master. No matter how you try to break it, only through Christ you can. There is no way. No other way. You know why it's like that? Because sexual sins are against your own body. And will literally will destroy your mental and physical and emotional health. It'll make you go insane. You'll think you're crazy. I could tell you, you know, it had me literally, kind of out of my mind. I didn't know which way to turn. But I wanted to get out of it, but I couldn't. It's like a trap. Like the Apostle Paul said, he knew it was more than a sin. That kind of sin, sexual sin, is more than a sin. It's a trap. For which, like I said, only few people escape. That's why when Apostle Paul spoke to the Corinthians, he said, flee. Flee fornication. You know what flee means? Take off and run. Don't stand up and continue in it. Run. And don't look back. Don't look back. I remember praying and asking God to free me. When I pray, it was like the words were just bouncing off the wall. I would go to church and, you know, because I wanted to be free, but I would repent and I feel good after I come to church. But then it's like the spirit just keep bombarding me. I had to go back. And I find myself right back in the same situation. You know why? Because I didn't freely give myself to God. You want to get free, but it's so hard. I began hating myself and feeling sorry for myself. I began looking for pity from people. You begin to tell people your business now. You begin because you just want to hear a confident word. Don't worry. You know, everything will be all right. That time they're taking your business all over the place. So do you try? See God and give him your business. You all over the place asking everybody what they think. What do you think? I should leave him? What do you think? This is what you're doing to me. And you know deep down inside yourself that this person don't mean you no good. But it's like you cannot be free. It give you a low self-esteem, a feeling that is not good. You feel like you're not worthy. Oh, glory be to God. You begin making excuses. And at that time, it's like your mind gone contrary because you begin to make excuses. You know he's doing you something wrong, but it's like, all right, you make excuses. You know, you begin to make excuses for your bad relationship. You're holding on. You're saying maybe if I hold on a little longer, he might marry me. You don't know what trouble you marching up. What? You know what marriage is? You need to loose that demon in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, this thing played on my mind. I could tell you this morning, because I'm feeling this morning. I continue to pray, although I didn't feel like my prayer was going anywhere. You know, I continue to pray. I began to pray like Samson. I say, Lord, just give me one more. Give me the strength. Samson tell God, give him the strength in the midst of them Philistines so he could kill them. And I asked God to give me the strength one more time, just to get up out of this mess. I prayed for strength to resist. And I'm telling you, God, give me the strength one more time. After so many prayers, I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not easy because them demons can touch you. Even if you, when you get set free, they can still come around. There's always, you know, they're never going to go right there. They can always come speak into your mind, but you got to be the one to say, I'm not doing it no more. I'm finished with it. Rebuke them in the name of Jesus. After so many prayers and crying and sleepless nights, I finally surrender everything to God. Because my only hope was to commit myself totally. You cannot be half-stepping. You can't be today you're with God and tomorrow you're not with God. You have to totally give yourself. Surrender everything. Everything. He have to be number one. Everything else comes second place. Like David, when he find himself in that position, and I know you remember that story quite well, but that situation with Bathsheba, he realized how far he had fallen away from God. He cried out to him in Psalm 51, glory be to God, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kindness of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. He tell God to create in me a clean heart. Oh my God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. The spirit had to be right. The spirit had to be renewed. He said, renew me, O God. Hallelujah. He said, only against you I have sinned, Lord. He said, I have done this wickedness in your sight. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Praise the name of the Lord. If you're tired of living a double life, you're trying to get out, but somehow you're right back. Jesus wants to deliver you today. He wants to set you free today. Why not let him? The word of God says, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come. Refreshing means blessings. That God will bring blessing and pour blessing upon your life. That he will give you, glory be to God, the husband or the job or whatever that you desire. God longed to bless you. He longed to restore the things that you desire. He longed to bless you with that godly husband, with that godly wife, that house, that car. Praise the name of the Lord. Once you don't put it before him. He greatly desired to bless you, but he would never do it until you purge the evil from your heart. You got to be the one to make up your mind. God is not going to come. Jesus is not going to come and save you from it and you're not ready. You got to be ready. God do not want a piece of you. He wants all. Did the song say, he wants all or none. That's the way he wants us to love him. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. That's what he wants. All or none. Jesus gave everything on the cross for you. And he expects nothing less than everything from you. He wants all or none, like I say. He wants you to serve him with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body. He wants a full commitment. God is calling you today. He wants you to put to that stronghold of sin in your life that you must rid yourself of. You need to make up your mind to surrender all. He cannot transform you, like I say, into a man and woman of God until you put to death who you are today. And God will never take you where he wants you to go as long as you kept holding on. Kept holding on this thing. You wouldn't let it go. It's 2017, almost 2018. Let this be the last year. Don't hold on to that no more because God have great things in store for you. You need to choose and repent and make a roundabout turn. Jesus is waiting with his arms wide open saying, come unto me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden with sin. Meaning your burden could be heavy. He do not care what it is. Heavy and heavy because you can't carry it alone. He said, I will give you rest. I will take that burden off you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do not wait until it's too late. I'm finishing right now. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't wait until it's too late. You know, I just stopped by to tell you today, you need to choose. Don't continue to halt between two opinions. The Lord is saying, how long are you going to stay there? Do not move away. Accept Christ as your personal Savior. Give him everything. Praise the name of the Lord. Could you stand? Praise the name of the Lord. Do not wait until it's too late. Tomorrow is not promised to none of us. Tomorrow is not promised. We need to rededicate our lives now. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. When we look around and see what's going on in the world today, praise the Lord. People are dying and from all kind of different diseases and everything, but we are blessed to be here today. We are blessed to be standing here today and know that God had given us another chance to repent. There's a lot of people that already gone on that they had the chance, but they did not take it. And they gone on to eternity, to where they're going to spend eternity, if it's hell or heaven. But you have another chance to repent. You have another chance to see God. And the word of God says, seek him while you may be found and call upon his name while he's near. Don't turn him away. The word also says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And you know, I just want to extend an altar call this morning, praise the name of the Lord. I want to extend it to you and you who want to make a new commitment with God. Because I'm telling you, saints, in 2018, it's going to be different. 2017 was a very rough year. We went through so much. But I'm telling you, we don't know what 2018 is going to bring. Get your heart right with God. Decide today. Stop straddling the fence. Accept Jesus Christ and take him whole, everything. Surrender everything to him. So I want to say, if you want to come forward and you want to be prayed for, praise the name of the Lord this morning, we give you the opportunity. Hallelujah. If you want God to deliver you this morning, if you want to be free, if you want to be delivered and set free from things that are holding you and have you in chains, if you feel like you cannot get away, we are here to pray for you this morning. And I'm welcoming you to come as you are. Don't be afraid. If you don't want to come, you can bow your head right where you are, but it is good to obey, because when the Holy Spirit says something, he wants you. If he say to come here, maybe there's something that he want to do, you know. But if you don't listen, you don't take care, and you say, I can stand right here and do what I want to do, that's disobedient. But if you want to come and release yourself from the bond that the enemy had tie you up with, and you feel like you cannot, because I feel that like you cannot get loose no matter how long, how much you try. How much you try to pull yourself away. It's like, I'm not pulling away. Try to make you feel like you're crazy. Like you're going out your mind, but you don't go out your mind. If you stay there, you'll go out your mind. But if you accept Christ and you surrender everything to him, you would not go out your mind. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God, we praise you, God. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. Lord, bless your people, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless them, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God.
We welcome the prayer warrior to come and pray for those, hallelujah, that God will break the chain. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Surrender your life to him. Hallelujah. He's calling you. He's calling you. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Withholding nothing. Don't hold on nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Oh, glory to God. Withholding nothing. We bless your name, God. Close to you. Thank you for your people, God. We thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, O God, that is with us. And we thank you, Lord, O Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless your people, O God. Thank you for your word, O God, O Lord, that you have delivered today. And we ask you, O God, to let the word penetrate through us, O God. Let us not be the same, O God. Let us leave this place, O God, with a new mind. And a new heart, Lord, to serve you and to serve you in spirit and in truth in the very beauty of holiness. Lord, we just give you thanks. Cover them now and go with them as they go on the dangerous highways, oh God. Be with them and take them safely to their homes, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.